say, because if it was not you, it covered you for everything. So I'm looking at the CY0F Sable Island. When are they supposed to be there? Okay, so if you click on this graph, and it shows when they're going to be there, and I'm not quite figuring it out. Well, it looks like they're taking some unusual equipment. They got stuff set up for 1296. Maybe they're going to focus on satellites or whatever.
March 19th to the 31st, it says.
Okay, well, they have that part hidden on their web. Well, I'm looking at the EA1CSDX blog. And so the problem with the blog is they don't always put the information, the useful information up at the top. It always goes down to the bottom. Oh, well.
Oh, I went to their website. It's right at the top of their website.
Yeah, I worked them. So they had a previous, I guess the same crew did a 2023 expedition, CY0S, because I worked them a bunch. I worked them on 40 CW, 80 CW, oh, sorry, 40 phone, 80 CW, 40 CW, and 30 CW, and I got them on 20 sideband back in 2006. So, yeah, I got a lot of holes to fill. I need them on basically 17, 15, 12, and 10. So, well, it'll be good. Yeah, reading the blog here, I guess they did not take satellite equipment in 2023, so it looks like that's what they're planning to do in 2025. Okay, good for them.
No, that's one thing I wouldn't mind. In the middle school club, we had a full satellite station, sideband with VHF, UHF, and tracking and all that. I'm like, always wanted to get back to something like that. Yeah.
Where did you go to middle school that you had a school set up like that?
In Holly, at Sherman Middle School. We had the ham club and everything. So we had, in the computer class was our main, the satellite station, an HF station, VHF station, and a packet station. And then Mr. Cole and his class, he had a vertical HF station set up because he was on the other side of the school. So it was funny, sometimes we'd have to, he couldn't hear that, like a DX would come in, so we could hear that they're not working on the station in his class, because he taught English. So we'd run down to the computer classroom where Mr. Carlo was the computer teacher, because it had the Yagis and all that in the beams stuff for HF, and, you know, work them that way on some different DX stuff. But yeah, how I got exposed to ham radio was middle school, though.
Well, that is the coolest thing. I had no idea. Yeah, that's great. We had nothing like that when I was in school. I came to it in other directions at that time. I was in middle school and high school at the time, but very good. I know that the Lance Cruz High School had a ham radio. I don't think the middle school, but I know Lance Cruz High School had a ham radio school station, and one of the teachers there for a long time was, with the club sponsor, but he retired years ago. I don't know what happened to it, if it's still active or not. But anyway, well, I am going to step aside. I'm going to head upstairs for a bit. I'm not sure if I'll be back down. I may, but I do need to head up for a few minutes, and I may not be back down. So, nice chatting. We'll catch you next time. W8FSMKABB.
Yep. We had a full class in middle school. They tried to start a club up in high school, and they even got a call like W8HHS, but never went anywhere. But, nope. Yeah, that's how I got exposed. Mid-90s. Yeah, I'm trying to decide. Should I go upstairs and just put my headphones on and lay next to her? Michelle's already gone up to bed because she's got to get up and be into work by 4 or 8 tomorrow. Or I'm, so if I'm staying down here, I'm going to put my music on with my headphones. Well, I can do that laying next to her, too, so I might do that. I might go fill my water. I drink all my drinks. I've eaten my biscuits, and I'll do that, too. So it was good talking to you. I think I'm going to go upstairs, too.
You're connected to CMN Network. Currently connected to CMN Network. Connected to CMN Network. You're connected to CMN Network.
KF8S connected to CMN Network.
JF8FSO calling AC8AC.
Connected to CMN Network. You're connected to CMN Network. Currently connected to CMN Network. Connected to CMN Network. Connected to CMN Network. Connected to CMN Network.
KD9QLK, monitoring. KD9QLK, monitoring. Thank you.
You're connected to CMN Network.
Yeah, roger that. And also, you can look on that website, and you can, see how strong your signal is. I forget where it is. I'm not by the computer right now, but it's MI5. It might be MI5.org or something like that. If Tim's listening, he can help with it. But you go to that website, and you can check your RSSI, and your signal strength, and what repeater you're coming through. Really interesting. Over.
Yeah, I think you accidentally bumped your knob. You were on statewide one. He didn't hear any of that. You accidentally bumped over here to FBI.
Connected to CMN Network.
I guess not. W8FU.
KF80WHALE.
You're connected to CMN Network.
November 8, X-ray Zulu.
November 8, X-ray Zulu. KF80WHALE. How you doing this evening?
KF80, what? I can't speak. I'm fine. How are you?
Well, I'm just dandy. Enjoying this fine sunny afternoon here. Cold, but sunny.
Yeah, it was not too bad out when I took out the trash. I'm still going to need to do another police of the backyard, but I suppose that can wait. It's just so frustrating picking up shovelfuls of deer and rabbit poop. It's like, come on, go do nature somewhere else.
Well, I live in a rural area, and I can honestly say I have never experienced that problem. So I'm kind of curious how you have so much deer and rabbit poop that you're having to shovel it up.
Well, it's fairly common. We'll count 8 or so hanging out in my neighbor's yard. Fortunately, I think my dog's scent helps to keep them from bedding down in my yard, but they sure visit it a lot. Our normal cyclone fences are absolutely nothing to them. It's like you or I stepping over a parking block.
Well, that sounds like an interesting problem. Yeah, I don't know. I never experienced that one. We have a bunch of visiting bats that come around, and they leave presents on our porch sometimes. Neighboring cats. We have two cats. One of which is an outside cat, outside inside cat. The other one stays inside. But we have visiting cats at night that leave stuff on our porch, but never had a deer or rabbit feces problem. That's pretty interesting.
And they're largely the same, just one's bigger and more of it.
Yeah, I see with our fresh snow, our cat buddy's been out. He didn't leave a present last night, but been around. I see his little paw prints all over around my barn and then around the house. He does a circle around the barn and then a circle around the house. And then goes back to wherever he came from.
We got one cat that just tends to patrol through the neighbor's yard and occasionally will walk around in my front yard based on snow evidence, but to my knowledge, we haven't had problems with it.
Well, patrol is the key word there. They like to patrol. That's a perfect word.
I saw where a typical hacker dude, kind of like I used to be, built up a collar for his cat and put GPS tracking, and I think he had a camera built in, but it was amazing seeing how the cat spent its outdoor time and exactly where it went, and it spent like an inordinate amount of time hiding in a shrub, and then it went on like a 12-mile you know, journey before it came back home. It's like the stomping ground of a single cat is much larger than I would have assumed. I would have gotten that wrong on Jeopardy.
Well, mile sounds fairly far. I think I saw something like some kind of documentary a while back where the average patrol of an outdoor cat is usually a square mile or, you know, a square few blocks in a city or a square mile or so in a rural area, that kind of thing. But, yeah, 12 would surprise me.
Well, realize I am speaking from shaky memory, and much more important than the actual number is the fact that I was really surprised by how big it was, whatever it was.
Yeah, we used to have a cat a few years back, and we had collars on them that would, they're not GPS collars, but they had like a little credit card thing where if you got within 200 feet of it, you could tell it was, you know, it was like a warm, cold thing. And you could get close to it that way. But we had one that didn't come back for a few days, so I went around looking for it with the credit card finder thing. And yeah, he was a good 3 miles away. But yeah, not 12, but 3. He was a good 3 miles away when I found him. I don't know how I found it. I just kept doing the going down the road slowly, and the thing hit finally, and then I zeroed in on it from there and walked up to the property owner and said, "Hey, can I walk around here a little bit?" And didn't have a problem with that, so I eventually found him with that. But yeah, he wandered out of his area, I think, and then didn't know how to come back home, I don't think.
You hear these stories of dogs that, the owners moved or they, you know, whatever, and dogs like track them miles and miles across country. I'm like, I don't know if that works that way unless they were walking. It must be that I don't really know how a dog's homing device works, how they could navigate home over a very long distance.
Well, many different animals have different ways of doing that. We keep bees, and if you want to move a beehive somewhere, you need to move it at least about 15 miles away, because they'll find their way back. If you only move it just a few miles away, they'll find their way back to where they think the hive used to be, and then they'll all be buzzing around there and get upset that the hive's not there, or the queen's not there, or whatever. Animal kingdom is interesting, that's for sure.
So, a beekeeper, you're a secret agent like Jason Statham then?
No, nothing that fancy. We just keep a few hives just for kind of fun, really, but, you know, they make some money, and we give it to our family and whatnot, but it's nice to have some fresh honey around. Well, honey doesn't really go bad, but it's nice to have some constant source of honey. We use honey for stuff. They're interesting. The bees are interesting. That's for sure. When we first got into it, I was skeptical. My wife wanted to do it, and I just kind of went along with it. And yeah, they're pretty interesting the way they operate. If they're not happy with the queen, they'll just kill her and make a new one. At the end of the season, all the male drones get killed off, and they drag them off the front of the porch and just haul them off like they're hauling dead bodies off the front of the hive, just and dumping them. It's quite the sight, because the male drones are just drones. They don't do anything. Their sole purpose is that if they want a new queen, the male drones will, seed the new queen, and then that's their only job. But over winter, when resources are scarce, they kill them all off, and there's no drones in the winter. So it's the core hive, and they hibernate for the winter and hunker down and start anew in the spring. Pretty interesting.
Wow, kind of makes me glad I'm not a bee. There's jokes about, of all the insect vomits, I like bees the best. But I've been told honey is not really bee vomit. What is it?
Well, I don't know that I can answer that, really. It's just what the bees make for their own food. They go out and turn and take the pollen from the flowers and turn it into honey with their own internal processes. And they inject it into a cell, and that's a honey cell. What it is exactly, I don't know. I'm not a chemist.
Well, thanks anyway. I was curious because it's one of those things that has been around for so long, and even though honey is different based on like what pollen they used, and there's like clover honey and whatnot, but honey is one of the things that, although it changes a little, it hasn't changed much. Like, for example, an apple over the last 200 years. An apple that, say, George Washington would have eaten in his lifetime would probably be rejected by everyone now as being mealy and not flavorful and just kind of annoying, because we've selectively only allow the really good ones to grow, kind of like the whole drone thing, but different. But honey, it's one of those experiences that transcends much time. You could go back to a Neanderthal finding a hive, and the taste of that honey would be only a little different from honey today, as opposed to the difference of like a taste of an apple. So it's like a shared experience throughout human history. I am challenged to find many more like it.
Yeah, I guess I hadn't thought about the apple thing. That's pretty interesting. But yeah, bees are very subjective as to what they're eating. That's for sure. Anybody who advertises clover honey, they can't advertise that. They don't know what the bees are eating. The bees will roam for miles to eat stuff. Yeah, they generally go with what's closest, but not always. You don't know where they're going, really. You really don't know where they're going. They can go for a couple, their range is usually a couple miles.
Unless they catch a ride on that cat.
There you go, the 12-mile cat. Can't pay you well.
K4CYQ,
KBSWR.
K4CYQ.
And nothing heard. I was looking at some different compressors lately. Audio electronics compressors, not the things you paint cars with. And it's amazing what they're doing with the market now, where, you know, back in the day they had the 1176 and the LA2A, some of these, you know, compressors that just made the difference on so many albums. Now they've got what used to be a multi-$1,000 rack mount thing in a little foot pedal, and, you know, plain old everyday guitar player can basically put the entire studio set up on the floor in front of them. It's just amazing. And the idea that, well, the one you want in the front of the signal is different than the one you want in the back of the signal, because you want an FET for one of them and you want a transconductance amplifier for the other. So, mind-boggling. NADXZ.
KE4ZYQ. KE4ZYQ, pick it up, hand it over to KB8SWR, who also broke, and then back to the other gentleman.
Yeah, this is KE4ZYQ, Joe Juliet, Oscar Echo, and Clinton Touchett. I just, forgive me, I got a bad habit of jumping in sometimes into a conversation for humor's sake. When you said something doesn't taste the same years ago than now, I couldn't help but think, sweet revenge, the taste of sweet revenge, I think may not be a whole lot different in the early colony days and now. Maybe a little different. But over to SWR, I think it was, KU4ZYQ, I'll just listen out.
I think that was all three of you at once there. Perfect timing.
I think that's SWR's just signal. I think his signal's not so good. Can't fade it well.
Jump over here. YL, I believe it was. You're here on Bert. Are you okay?
This is KF80YL. I'm Ken. I am on the Bert repeater, if that's what the question was asked.
Yeah, am I not making the repeater very well, or what?
Now you are. Now your signal's perfect. It sounded like it was a double, but then you came back again, and it sounded the same, but the last transmission was perfect.
Yeah, I'm over on Bert. Well, your audio sounds good here, but it's a little hot going through the network, and I was listening over on a different repeater, and you were clipping, so I was just going to say, if you got a mic, you might want to turn it down a little bit, but you sound okay here, so. Watch that series. But anyway, that's all I was throwing in. Maybe it's SWR.
I'm still on high. Sometimes I put this radio on high because it's a mobile that I move to a base station. And at home here, it's really close to the Bert repeater, so it needs to be on low when I'm at home. Let me move that.
It's not your power setting. It's your mic gain. Your gain on the radio. If you got a mic gain on the radio, it's not your power setting.
Well, how's that sound? Is that any better?
I just jumped over to one of the other repeaters. I don't know until I listen to you over here, I guess.
KF8AYL 10.
Yeah, it sounds good. If you can copy me, maybe I got a bad antenna or something going on here, but you sound good now. Keep it up here.
I turned the power back down to medium, and I did lower to my gain some. I really think it's the power with this radio. When I'm at home here, it needs to be on low.
Okay, sounds good. I don't know if Sean's still in here or not, but Sean, if you are, go ahead and pick it up. KBSW, home here, pulling in the driveway, so 7-3.
That was Ken out there. I just want to say hello. How are you? And that's about it. KFA-BRC.
Well, there's Jack's booming voice on the radio. Nobody can mistake that. How you doing, Jack?
Very good. I had you with a beep, so I figured that you're the one got the beep. How you doing?
I can't complain. Bees are in the barn. They're hibernating in their hives over the winter there. So we'll see if they survive. Had some troubles with that before. You know, you tape them up and you stick them in the barn, and they just kind of do their thing over the winter. But we'll see if they survive. I think I was talking to a station N8. Yeah, I don't remember what it was. N8 something. I didn't get his name either. But if you're still out there, go ahead.
I think he was in his driveway, he said. He said, we'll talk later, and he said, pick it up, Sean. I don't know if Sean was out there or not.
I thought that was Jeff SWR, but whatever, I didn't hear anybody else. Yeah, just living the dream here, Jack. How about you?
Well, you know, between the cold weather and stay inside for a little bit and get outside, I got outside for a little bit, you know, walked around a little bit, and that's about it, and I came home. Anyhow, how's everybody there?
Currently connected to CMN Network.
Everybody's doing pretty good. No complaints from this side. I don't know what you're talking about, cold weather. This is not cold weather. It's like 20-some degrees, and then later in the week, supposed to be 40s again. It was 50 a few days ago. So, yeah, a day of 20-some degrees? That ain't cold, man. Come on. You live in Michigan. Get used to it.
Yeah, that's for sure. Get used to it. You're right. But this morning, you woke up this morning, it's almost an inch of snow. I don't know what they call that.
An inch of snow is nothing. Nobody bats an eye at an inch of snow.
Yeah, I see what you're saying. Well, anyhow, you're sounding good on that radio. Anyhow, so, when are you going to go up? Next week or maybe a month?
Actually, I'm going back to the UP probably Tuesday for a few weeks, and I'll be back. Then I'm going to go to my customer in Ohio, and then, yeah, it's probably starting in May. I'll go back and
Ohio.
There's way too much snow. They got more snow up there than they have in a long time. There's 4 feet on the ground. I got a camera on my place there, and I have a couple of gauges. They're not really official. They're not measurements, but like there's an old steam pipe in the yard, and it comes up. I believe it's about 3.5 feet. That's been buried for the last 2 weeks. It was not buried 2 weeks ago, and then they got another foot, and then another 7 inches. Of course, that all compresses, and then it got warm a little bit, and then it got cold again, but it's still buried. Can't see the steam pipe head sticking out. So there's a lot of snow on the ground there, that's for sure. And I'm going back. I'm going to enjoy it. My sled's up there. It's running perfect. I can do a few things on the barn, too, while I'm there if it gets a little bit warmer, which I think it's supposed to. It's supposed to get in the low 30s, I think. We should be all right.
Yeah, I see what you're saying. Oh, he says, well, he says, do a wait and go to Ohio and wait a couple of weeks here. Relax a little bit and everything, and then go back to Ohio, then go back up.
Well, I'll take you to Ohio in the week. Ohio is no thank you. I don't like going there anymore. I don't know how I used to. Man, I used to go down there every other week. Every other week for 4 days. For 15 years, I did that. And then COVID hit, and still have that customer, but yeah, I don't know. I don't know how I did that.
Ken, what you gotta do, you gotta satisfy the customers first.
Yeah, we're just a small little company. I got like three guys that work for me. One of them got in trouble last week. He made some kind of a comment on a Teams meeting, and somebody took a screenshot of it. And even though a Honda associate put a laugh emoji on his comment, now he's in trouble for this comment. And of course, me as the manager of this supplier of theirs, now I have to respond officially. I'm going to have to give this guy, quote, training. And yeah, I'm like, what? Dude, what are you doing? Why would you even say that? Like, what the heck? He wasn't even a really bad comment. It was just, yeah, I don't know. I don't like being manager. I just like doing work. I don't like being the manager. Now I got to be manager because one of my guys made a crass comment.
Yeah, I see what you're saying. I was the same thing. Was in the supermarket. I said, no, I don't want to be a manager. I like to be assistant, yeah. But make sure that manager works for at least 6 days, not 7 days, no problem at all. And I did that for 10 years. And I didn't have that much problem, you know what I mean, on the assistant manager, but the manager, well, it was going left and right.
W-A-E-A-T.
Go ahead, Eric.
Thank you. I'm just testing out something right now. I don't want to interrupt you guys. I just wanted to get a quick audio check. If there's more than one person out there, it's a lot easier to get a good, accurate audio check.
Audio is clear, coming in loud. No problems from my perspective. KF8AYO.
Oh, very good. I want to say hi to Jack out there. I'm not sure if I talked to you before, but I heard snowmobiling, and I'm like, oh, man, I'm recovering from surgery, so no snowmobiling for me. Well, I take that back. When they had that snowstorm at the very end of November, I went up, snowmobiled for 2 days, didn't even have to buy a trail pass. So, you know, those trail passes are like, what, $55? And the trails didn't technically open until December 1st, so I kind of got to go ride for a couple days. I didn't really go on the trail. I just took all the old two tracks and dirt roads. Still got a couple days worth in. But anyhow, I'll get out of here. I just wanted to see how this microphone was working. You guys have a good one. W-A-E-A-P.
Oh, we've talked a few times. Yeah, I'm sure you don't remember, but yeah, I'm your WRTX 930. I think you're 931 or 2 or 929. You're right close to me or something. We talked there too. KF8 AYO. Go ahead, Jack.
Yeah. Anyhow, let me put some these logs and in the furnace.
Oh, it's definitely a wood burning day. That's for sure. It's the wood stove's going. Although I may need to go inside and refresh it. It's been about 5 or 6 hours since I've been inside. Hopefully the wife refreshed it, but she doesn't like doing it, so we'll see. It's probably going to be a little, maybe 66 when I go back in there, because she probably didn't do it.
Well, you know that, you know. He's the one out there, he's got to do it. Anyhow, he probably finished that cigar too, isn't it?
Well, let's see. I came outside, I did a wheel bearing on my wife's car. I did a strut clanking sound on my mother-in-law's car, that because the top strut bolt was loose, so I diagnosed that and fixed that. And then I went out and had a cigar here, and yeah, it's been a few hours. But that's the way it goes.
Always. All right, Ken, I'm going to probably let you go because you got to go put some of these logs. You take care and good talking to you. And stay for a couple of more weeks, then go to Ohio. Relax for a couple of weeks before you go. Nah, you don't want to go north right now. Roger?
I do, because there's a couple of reasons. One, they got more snow than they've had in a long time, and I want to go back and enjoy some of that. But two, I left some stuff up there with my computer. I got some stuff I left up there that I need. That I kind of need. And when I left last time, I forgot to put it back in the car, and it's still there, sitting in the cold. But I'll go get it. All right, Jeff, have a good evening. 73s, KF8, get well.
Yeah, might as well go back and get it. You might need it before you go to Ohio. Anyhow, good talking to you, Ken. You take care. We'll talk again. KF8, VRC.
Yeah, Eric, if you're still there, I think I heard you the last few days. Something about a surgery, and yeah, that sucks. I feel for you, man. Feel for you if your mobility's impaired. That's definitely something. But get well soon, my friend. KF8 AYO.
Okay, I know who you are now. I know who you are now. Yep, I talked to you on the other GMRS, and you were. Friend of mine is 99, and I'm 957. Oh, yep. Okay. Well, yeah, I'll be probably laid up another good month or two. It sucks. Definitely does. This was a big one, too. I mean, they really opened me up and cut into a lot of nerves.
Yeah, I hear you on that one. That's definitely a major drag, that's for sure, but sound like you're doing all right. You're in good spirits, so that's a huge part of the equation right there.
Yeah, luckily I got someone helping me out, taking care of me. I still can't do a lot of, still can't drive. Yeah, it'll probably be another month before I can drive. And I'm going to have to get a girl's bicycle. I don't even think they call them girl's bikes anymore. If I'm going to ride a bicycle, I may have to get one of those, like I said, they don't call them girl's bikes anymore, low bar, because I don't know if I'll be able to lift my leg up over the bar. So I may have to get a step-through bicycle. maybe. I don't know. That's, don't worry about that for another few months.
Yeah, I'm not sure they even have men's and women's bikes anymore. I think they're all just kind of like a medium-height bar that anybody can kind of use. It's much more comfortable, even for the guys, to get over.
Last time I bought a bike, I bought a couple expensive bikes a few years ago, and it's just like, there's like a high bar and a low bar. In the low bar, the bar isn't like curved. Like, remember the old girl's bike, like the lower bar was curved. Now it's like straight. And they just call it like a low bar or a high bar. They don't say men's and women. But I may have to get one of those. I do have an electric bicycle up north, and it is a low bar. It's a folding bike. Well, I got one of them, though, so I got to buy one for the missus, I guess, if I want to go that route.
Well, maybe you can't ride a bicycle or drive a car, but maybe you can get on a snowmobile. That might be closer than a car or a bike.
Yeah, I have no doubt that I could get on and off a snowmobile right now. Point is, though, I'd have to buy a sticker, and they're probably not going to, you know, it's not good on my back. I still got to wear that brace. I can't be jarring it around, so I'm not even going to, this year at least, I'm not going to mess with snowmobiles. Next year, though, I will. And, yeah, I get my money's worth out of the trail pass.
Yeah, I haven't bought a trail pass in the last couple of years because the last few times I was on the trails where I'm at, they were just destroyed. I'm like, what did I buy this for? Like, this trail just wrecked every time I went on it. So I just stopped buying it because I'm not on it very often. I'm always usually just in the back country. I take the back roads. Back trails around some places, and yeah, I used to do a lot of trail riding back in the day, but not so much anymore. I just kind of go down to the local bar that's about 20 miles away. I can get there through all the back trails, and it's an awesome ride, and I'm kind of satisfied with that. I don't need to go anywhere else these days for some reason. My sled's older anyway. I got a 2000. Everybody calls my sled an ancient sled now anyway. It's an antique, basically. But he still runs perfect. No problems. That's what I'm driving.
Yep. Both of my sleds are 2002. So, yeah, they'll be antiques next year, right? Go up to the antique snowmobile run there. Yep, there's not too far from me. There's a antique snowmobile show and run. I really wanted to go to that this year, but like I said, I got the surgery in the beginning of December, so kind of screwed everything up. But anywho, yeah, mine looks brand new. Kept under a cover inside of a heated garage, so yeah, mine looks brand new. You know, blue book value is like $900, but I mean, you can't go by that. I mean, new ones are, you know, like $14,000 for a new top of the line sled now, if not more.
Well, they vary quite a bit. I was actually just looking recently. You can get like a Ski-Doo 600 MXZ, kind of a basic model these days. I think it's list price like $10,900, and you can find them for $8,900 dealers. You know, like a year old or whatever, like a 2025 model or whatever. But yeah, a top of the line one. Yeah, they're pushing 20. They're pushing 20 now. the 900 four strokes. Yeah, they're 20. Pretty easy.
Yeah, I got a couple of 700s. One of them's a single, one's a two-up, like a touring sled. And, same thing with side-by-sides. Holy crap, I got a Razor, an 800 Razor. And, man, those things are in the 30s and 40s sometimes. There's a place up in St. Helens. I rent the four-seaters. Like, if I have some friends coming up, I'll rent a four-seater for the day, turbo, like the 1,000cc turbos. I rent one of those for the day. I get a discount because I know the lady lives on my street, so I get a pretty good discount. But mine's just a regular two side-by-side, not a four-seater. But I do a lot of my running in West Branch, Ogemaw, Roscommon, Houghton Lake. That's my little territory.
Kind of curious, how much is it to rent a side-by-side these days? Because I was just in the local shop in Houghton, so it's west end of the UP, Houghton. Not Houghton Lake, Houghton, UP. And I was in there getting some parts for my sled, and I just kind of asked casually while I was waiting, like, hey, because I saw them renting sleds, and I'm like, hey, how much is it to rent a, like, you know, just this low-end 600 here or whatever? They're like, oh, it's $320 a day plus, you know, insurance and helmets and whatever. I'm like, $300 a day? Really? Wow. I guess I'm okay with keeping my old sled running.
Yeah, the side-by-side, you get the high-end four-seater side-by-side, they're probably $600-$700 a day. But if you figure out how much those things cost, let's say you bought one, you only rode it two or three times a year. By the time you calculate the cost of the machine, the insurance, the storage of it, you know, if you're only going to go a couple, three times a year, it's cheaper just to pay for it, you know, rent one. $300, whatever you said, it's a pretty good deal for a 600. But I know the side-by-sides are double that.
Well, I guess I say that from the perspective of when you go look at kind of used ones, you can find just like 2 or 3 year old used ones with not many miles on them, like sleds. Like you can find a Ski-Doo 600 2023 for like $4,000, $3,000. It ain't hard. If you wait long enough, you'll see them out there. And yeah, I don't know. I don't know if I can justify $300 a day to rent a sled these days. Side by side, yeah, I don't know. But I see them go back past my place there in where I'm at on the west end of the UP. I see the groups of side by sides come around in the summer. They come by. You see them go by, you know, there used to be 10 of them, 12 of them in a group, and they're going by with their little LED sticks going up and down, and your stereo is blaring, and every one of them goes by, and I'm like, there's $20,000, there's $25,000, there's $14,000, there's $30,000. Yeah, I see them. I know what they cost. I'm like, how do these, I don't know. I feel I'm doing pretty good in life, but I can't justify, a $15,000-$20,000 side-by-side. That just seems crazy. And when I see them come by in groups of 10 and 12, I'm like, holy cow, man. Where are these people? And then they got the trailers and the $80,000 truck to tow them. And holy cow. I don't know. I don't know where it comes from. I lose you there, Eric. KF8AYL.
Yeah, I'm here. I was just answering the text message. But I know exactly what you do. I've been doing that I've been snowmobiling for 57 years. But snowmobiling since I was a little tyke. And we've always bought used sleds. Some, after a while, we start buying new sleds, and we keep them for a few years, trade them in, get new ones. And when it comes to motorcycles, I probably owned about 40 motorcycles. And I do the same thing. I'd look for ones that someone bought and then didn't like. Like they bought it and they're like, yeah, I don't really like this. So they just like kept it in their garage, you know, low miles, and to get those really dirt cheap. But I've done that a million times. I remember back with you probably remember back in the old Auto Trader magazine or flyer at the 7-Eleven, and you'd call up somebody and everybody was straight. You know, Craigslist now, everyone's trying to rip everybody off. I spent a whole summer trying to look for a bike, and I got ripped. They tried to rip me off every single time. It's like the bike wasn't what they said it was. Just like rebuilt bikes that were totaled and rebuilt. I mean, just junk, top dollar. So you probably remember back in the day where you could like, you know, look up, you know, call the person's phone number in the Auto Trader and go out there, and it was an honest guy, and you made an honest deal.
Connected to CMN Network.
Yeah, my wife still makes fun of me when I still see the Auto Traders. Like, if we go into Lake Tony's here in Bertrand, I live pretty close to Bertrand, so we go there now and again. And there's an auto, you know, the free Auto Traders there. It's a shadow of what it used to be, for sure. Yeah, it used to be, you know, pages thick, 100 pages. Now it's like, you know, 14 pages. But, yeah, I still like thumbing through it, but, yeah, I don't know. I don't know if it's any different. I mean, I remember calling people in newspaper ads and Auto Trader stuff before, and getting, you know, a bad vibe, or you go out and look at it and it's not what it was advertised as. And I'm not sure that that's changed. It's probably gotten a little bit more prolific, but the fact that, yeah, it can be not what it is. I was trying to buy a wheel balancer recently, and yeah, I ran into several people on Facebook Marketplace who were advertising the Snap-on or the Hoffman, you know, the good brands, and you contact them and they're like, oh, I don't have that one anymore, but I got this brand new Chinese one that's the same exact price, so yeah, you get going with that one. And I'm like, no, that's not what I contacted you about. You advertised the Snap-on one. That's what I wanted. But yeah, it is what it is. I don't know.
Well, I bought a bunch of bikes off of Auto Trader. I never had a bad vibe. I always got a good deal. And the best ones were guys that just got married or guys just getting a divorce. You know, this guy had a mint condition Ninja 7. I never forget that. The mint condition Ninja 750. With low miles on it, and I don't know what he wanted. It was a pretty good deal, and I'm like, eh, I don't know. I was gonna go look at another bike, and the new wife pops her head in and says, "Just sell it for this price," and she like knocked like 40% off. It was like, let's say it was like $3,000, right? And she goes, just giving you $2,000 for it. We need the money. And I'm like, okay, I'll do that. Or a guy going through a divorce, you know, it's like, man, I got to get rid of this bike. You know, just give me whatever for it. I don't want her to get it.
Yeah, or like a buddy of mine says, dude, you're building the barn and you got all the stuff that, you know, for when... We have one daughter, and she's kind of a city dweller, so she's into some of the, she goes snowmobiling every now and again, but she doesn't know, you know, what's good, what's bad, you know, whatever. I just put her on a sled, and she's happy, and she likes it, but when I die, she's going to have an estate sale, and there's going to be some bargains. That's the long and short of it.
Yeah. This is WEAP. Yeah, I got a friend of mine, not going to mention any names, but he lives down here, but has a house up there. He goes up there on the weekend, and all the hams up there are in their 70s, 80s, even 90s, and he helps them out. I mean, he's a real good guy, helps them out, builds all-star nodes for them, gets the radio set up, builds antennas, builds these really nice hand-fed half waves and random antennas. And yeah, I make a joke with him because it's like, seems like every few months one of these old hams kicks the bucket and then he gets all the radio equipment, you know. He's got a whole basement full. He doesn't like it when I make fun of him. But no, he's a nice guy. And like I said, these people pass away and he gets all their equipment. You know, the wife goes, oh, you're so good to my husband. You're, you know, just take everything. But anyhow, I call him a vulture. Anywho, I got to get out of here. It's time for dinner. So nice talking to you. And, yeah, talk to you again soon, I guess. And, meanwhile, I'm just going to chill out and keep recovering.
Sounds like the ham black widow.
Yeah, I need to go in and refill my wood stove, but yeah, get well, my friend. Recover quickly. It'll go quicker than you think. It'll be summer before you know it, and you'll be driving and back on your bikes and sleds and side-by-sides and whatever. I think there's another station in there. KF8, KYL.
I was just adding my 2 cents in there. I just said it sounds like we got a ham black widow. KF8, BLX.
Yeah. So he gets a hold of me, texts me, and goes, hey, guess what I got? I got an old Kenwood 950, blah, blah, blah. I go, who died?
Well, yeah, he's like, you know, helping him out. He's doing stuff for him. He's just hanging around and just, befriending him.
What do you do?
For
like,
that purpose only.
Check all the
so I guess you kind of
people in hospice and nursing homes, see if any of them are hams. He gets so mad at me. Anyway, I'm going to get out of here. Catch you guys later. WAEAB.
Sorry, I double blew you there. I just said, yeah, well, you know, at least he helps him out and does stuff for him and all that and everything. So I guess you could say, you know, he's earning it. He's not just befriending him and hanging out and waiting for the day, you know, without doing anything in return. So it's not that bad. All right. Have a good night. 73. KF8 BLX. I'll be back in sight with that. Didn't catch that call sign. Got lots of picket fencing going on at last station.
KE8JXL.
Sound good, Eric.
Heard me on the input, Jack?
KFAGIC. Hey, sounding good.
Okay, I was just messing around. I was seeing if I can read something on the input. All right. Gotta go eat dinner. Catch you a little bit later, Jack. Don't do anything I wouldn't do. WADAP.
No, except sitting watching TV. That's about it. Take care. KF8, yeah, I see.
You're connected to CMN Network.
Nobody is lurking.
This is KFAFJH testing.
Connected to CMN Network.
KF8FJH. This is KF8DPZ. You're coming through loud and clear.
That's good. I'm located in a different place today. I'm located in Sterling Heights instead of Fraser, so. But it sounds like I'm still getting into this repeater pretty good, and that's pretty good. And I am transmitting with high power, by the way. Back over to you.
Well, your audio is nice and clear. There's very little background noise going on at all, so you sound pretty good there, Ben.
Well, yeah, that's pretty good. I did try. I did have an antenna that came with my UV32. That's, like, really big and large, but it was, like, better for VHS. I would see it seem like for that antenna, but with just the stock, but I noticed that the stock rubber duck antenna works better on all the UHF frequencies like we're on right now. The regular stock antenna just works better instead of that bigger and longer one, but that bigger and longer one works better for VHF, like 147.200, like a frequency like that. So, I would say the stock antenna for the Baofeng UV32 is the best antenna, is just the rubber duck, if you're going to be using it for UHF.
Yeah, for them sending you two antennas, yes, definitely. The shorter one's better on UHF, and the longer one's better on VHF. And I don't like switching antennas all the time, so I got one of those extendable ones. It basically doubles in length kind of thing, and I put that on top of mine when I want to do that. When I'm on UHF, I keep it short. When I go VHF, I just pull it out to its full length.
Yeah, definitely. You said you had a couple, I forgot last time we were talking, you said you had a couple Baofeng radios, right?
Yep, I got the DM32UV, and I've got a handful of the AR5RMs as well. Those are non-digital. Those are just UHF and VHF analog.
Oh, okay. Well, I did want to say I was saving my money because I do think I want to buy a DM32. That way I can start getting more into the digital frequencies instead of analog, because I feel like the digital is going to be so much better than the analog. It's going to be so much clearer, and there won't be no background staticky noise anymore. You know what I mean?
Oh, I know exactly what you mean about that. That's the nice thing about doing digital is that you get full quieting across the board. As long as you make it into the repeater clean, yeah, you get absolutely full quieting. There's no background noise of any kind whatsoever. Everything comes through nice and clear.
Yeah. I mean, right now, in the location I'm in right now, it would be a bad area for me to transmit on any of the 2-meter frequencies. I would have a hard time getting on or even getting into the repeater because this is such a sucky neighborhood for getting reception for some reason. Even the phone service is bad in this house, so we only get one bar in the entire house and zero in the basement. So it's pretty bad. So, but all the 70 centimeter frequencies seem to be working pretty good here. This is KFAFJH. Back over to you.
That is one of the odd things you're going to find out about amateur radio is that there's dead spots everywhere. Sometimes there's noise interference nearby. All kinds of things affect transmissions. Hey, yeah, like you said, just every now and then you wind up in a dead spot. Trying to use your mobile while driving down 696 can be one of them because you're down in the ditch and that can really mess with your transmissions.
Yeah, true. But I will say these are the best frequencies, all the QHF. I think it's the best to be transmitting on. And this radio has a pretty good battery, and it's hold a charge pretty good every time I talk. I mean, I'm on my UB32, and I could be talking on it even in high power for like 2 hours, which is pretty good. And I have now 3 of them because I got a 2-pack for Christmas, and then my Christmas present that my really older sister had for me was another one of those, but had a green stripes on the side of it instead of being all blacked out. So I had 3 of those, and then about the BSFAHP Pro. And those, so I have all Bonfang radios, basically.
Now, don't be that concerned about it. They work pretty good overall, and I can tell you right now, just about everybody out here will, at any given moment, bash Baofeng radios. Everybody owns one, at least one. I can tell you that, too. And the DM32UV is actually getting kind of popular because it seems like Baofeng hit it out of the park with that one. If you're saving your money up, it won't take you that long either because I'm looking on Amazon's website right now, and one of the vendors there is selling it. It just comes with the one antenna. It doesn't come with an extra long one, I don't think. But it's $55 for the radio when everybody else is wanting $75, $80, $100. This one is $55, and it's a DM32UV, so it's digital.
Oh, okay. That's pretty good. Yeah, I've seen the DM32 for a pretty good price, for $54 on Amazon, but it's actually a pretty good price for it, and doing the digital is just much clearer, like we said before, and there's no more static and background noise, you know. But yeah, definitely true there. That's a good radio, and that's where you can get it on Amazon. There you go.
N-A-W.
Come on in. Go ahead.
Yeah, I see you guys talking about the digital. The radio you're talking about, what digital mode is it? Is it DMR? Is it D-Star? Is it Fusion? Which one?
Hey, Jay, this is Cliff. How you doing? The radio that we were just talking about, it is DMR, Tier 1 and Tier 2. So, you know, it's got both time slots and can do a whole lot of other goodies.
Okay, yeah. That's, DMR is, I guess, one of the most, I would think, most popular digital there. Because, you know, there are so many digital DMR radios out there. So I was just kind of curious, but I'm into it all. DMR, D-Star, Fusion, and all that stuff. My one radio is Fusion, which I like, but I had to send it to the shop that the finals blew. But let's say, I don't know if you know about Novi or Northville UHF machine, but when the band sort of opens up, you know, it's like Skip, you know, like from TV, and you hear all this da-la-la-la-la-la-la. And that's, when you switch it over to Fusion, I could hear the guys down in Cincinnati, Ohio, just like listening to you guys in Cincinnati, Ohio. So, and the one thing about Fusion, it tells me how far apart of I am from them. And I can see a call sign and everything. It's pretty cool. I love digital. I just wanted to jump in here, yeah, and throw that in there.
This is KSAHJH. I'm still here.
Go ahead, Ben.
Okay, now I got to figure out where we left off at. I think we were talking about something about digital radios, the Baofeng DM32s, right?
Yep, that's exactly what we were talking about. So right now we got you, we got me, we got Jay, and I caught another break in there, and I can't remember his call sign. So I'm going to hand it off to him and let him pop in real quick here. Get ourselves a nice little round table going.
KE8RQJ, Kilo Echo 8 Robert, Quebec, Juliet, just looking for radio check to 87.
Yep, you got a little snap, crack, a little pop in there when your signal there, sir, NAW.
And I'm going to add, along with that popcorn you got going on, your audio is a little on the quiet side, but you are making it in. Over to you, Ben.
Yeah, I do have a say, though, on my end. It sounded like he was coming in actually decent, and it wasn't too bad, but the first station I heard. But, yeah.
The wonderful world of digital. I don't know if you guys know about the thumb drive. A thumb drive that connects to my computer there, and I could get in all three or four of the modes there. And you know it's pretty cool. It's the thumb drive costs $129, and you got to get registered. You got to registered for Brandmeister. If you gotta have in order to talk on DMR and D-Star, you have to be registered with Brandmeister there, right?
Yep, that's a fact, Jay. And for doing on DMR, you go over to radioid.net. With your license, you're registered with them, and you get a DMR ID number from there. KFATVZ. Over to you, Ben.
Yeah, for sure about that. That was good advice, what you were saying just now. Back.
All right, y'all don't get quiet on me now.
It was your turn, Jay, and now it's my turn, and I want to pass it back to Ben again.
This is KFAJH. I'm still listening.
So let me go ahead and say, you know, one thing about it, you know, the dual band radio, you know, the VHF. You know, what I like about VHF, it travels farther than UHF. If it's antenna at the same length, height, in height. But 440 is more, I don't know, it's more line of sight. It can get through the walls and stuff. If you're inside a building and stuff, you can get out better. And I guess that's why I can remember when Detroit Police used to be on VHF, and I guess they probably had so much problem, they went to UHF on 450 band, and then I guess that wasn't good enough, they had to go to 800 megahertz up on a real high frequency there, the system they got now is awesome, because, you know, they got a... the way they got it worked out, they can talk to other departments and stuff like that, you know. State police can connect to local police and blah, blah, blah. And our federal police can connect together there. They had it on the news when they started with this 800 megahertz and stuff, what they can do. And it's all right, you know, but I love radios there, you know. The higher the frequency, the smaller the antenna you need. But when you're on the low frequency, like CB, you got to have your telescopic antenna or a real high antenna there, so it's all good. NAWGO.
KFADBZ. Yeah, that's why UHF is more popular in residential and urban environments and whatnot. It's because it does better penetration. It can go farther when there's buildings around and whatnot. And VHF is more powerful when you, or more popular when you start getting out into the exurbs and out into the country and whatnot, because you definitely got better range with that. It'll definitely go further on the same amount of power. Over to you, Ben.
Oh, we done lost everybody. What happened?
I don't know, Jay. I handed it over to him, said it was his turn, and then we got a whole nothing heard right there. Well, we can just yak back and forth until he decides to pop back in. So how you been doing since the last time we talked anyway?
please don't, no, I was going to tell you, please don't ask, but since you did ask, my radio, I blew my finals in my 991A, so I had to send it in. And no telling when I'll get it back there, but that's what happens. With that 991A, it's a known, the final's known to blow, but I've had about, well, about four or five months, so, well, I mean, what a couple of years. And so when you're talking it constantly, I do on my radio, that's what happens. So, but I love that radio. Roger?
Yeah, copy that. Maybe one of these years I'll get one of those, but for right now, with the constrained budget and all that stuff, I'll be happy with getting on the air with the less expensive equipment. It still works. I still sound all right, so I can't complain.
What are you using?
What I'm using right now is an Elinco DRMD500T. And it is both analog and digital, and definitely dual band, but they also say that it can do the 1.25 meter, you know, the 220 band. They say it does that too, but I haven't set it up for that yet. So, and, you know, there's no repeaters nearby that I can reach anyways. There's one that's over like in by Fenton I might be able to get into, but I doubt it because it's kind of far away.
Well, whereabouts are you?
I am up by 16 in Gratiot, just a little bit south of Mount Clemens.
Okay. Well, you know, that's the 220 band. We used to have a lot of 220 repeaters around here. I don't know what happened to them. They got one in Canada, one somewhere in the Detroit area, something like that. But, yeah, I got a couple radios that do 220. It's a tri-band, 2 meters, 220. And I haven't used them in a long time because there's not that many people. I don't know what happens to those machines, but they sort of went under or what, but I don't get too many people in 220 like I have. So it's over to 6 meters because we got a six meter repeater they put up. Midtown Detroit, I don't know, 5-6 years ago, maybe like that. And it works good, too, especially when the band opened up.
You're talking about that Kilo 8 Papalima whiskey repeater that's over around Davison and the Lodge?
Yeah. Well, actually, there's three repeaters on that old Bell Telephone Company's building there. I remember when I used to live in that neighborhood. I remember when they used to be up and running there. They got a 6 meter and a 2 meters and a 440 machine on that same building there, Roger.
All right, copy that. Yeah, you mean what was his name? Dave was down 6 Mile and Gratiot or something like that. The three of us, we were yakking back and forth through their repeater like last week or something like that.
One of the machines we're using.
That one we were just talking about, the KAPLW repeater over there in Midtown.
About like I said, they got three. He's, man, I can't remember the guy. He's got three of them up on that building. He's got a 6-meter repeater up there. He's got a 2-meter. Okay, the 6-meter repeater is on, let's see, 50, let's see, what is it? 52.840. And he's got a 2-meter repeater up there on 5110. And then he's got a 440 machine that's a lot, that's very popular. And that's on 442-100. Go ahead.
Now, I'm going to have to look up the specs on that, that 220 machine if I can't get into that one. And just for the heck of it, I'll set up the 441 too. You know, just the more the merrier. But that's for another time. Right now, I'm busy talking.
Yeah, well, no problem. I mean, I don't know what a 220 machine is, but there's only three on that building that I know of, on that old Bell Telephone Company. And, yeah, that building was in service, because they used to use it for the Bell Telephone. People used to have phones in their car. You know, it was on, it had on PHF and UHF. As a matter of fact, there was times when I used to hear airplanes making telephone calls through that system a long time ago, but then I guess they shut it down since the cell phones came out and everything like that. And so I guess, I don't know how Todd and them took over that building, him and Collins, but they switched it over to our ham radio system. There, go ahead.
You're connected to CMN Network.
Just more repeaters to go digging up and seeing who I can talk to on.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah, I was, you know, when they put up that 6-meter repeater, oh, man, that was great. You know, not too many of us have 6 meters in our rig, but, hey, it pays to put 6 meters in there, too, because I remember Collins, and I don't know if you know Collins and all of them that run that system. One time they were on sideband, six meters talking to a guy in the one land in Connecticut, and he was coming in so good, so they asked him, how about trying our 6-meter repeater? And they gave him the offset, the peel off, and everything. And the guy came in there, and you would think he was local. Man, that 6-meter worked good when the band's open.
And sometimes it works pretty good even when the band isn't all that open. There's a repeater in Canada. Can't remember the call sign for it off the top of my head. But I was listening to it tonight. Apparently they're running NAT at 7:30 p.m. every Sunday night. And I just happened to be able to listen to them with no problem at all, and it's like 30 miles away.
Yeah, I know about that, Nick. And I know those guys on that machine. I used to talk on there, too. But since they, I don't know, they had, the one time, I guess the antenna fell down the tower or something. And when they put it back up, they didn't put up high enough. So now I can't get into it. So unless I probably put up my, give me a real, put my 6-meter antenna up higher. I know. Yep, you're right. 7:30 on Sunday. And we used to have a net on Sunday, too, on our repeater. Do you remember, you remember with Don, WAAE, and his girlfriend used to run it on around that time, 7:30 there. But, of course, they're both silent keys now there, Roger.
Yeah, copy that. That's sad to hear. That's unfortunate. It's always a shame when we lose one of our own. KFA-DPZ.
Yep. Okay. Well, what was your call again?
My call. Kilo Foxtrot 8 Delta Papa Zulu. Copy that?
Yeah, I copy now. Yeah, you, let's say, yeah, you're fairly new, I guess. I guess pretty soon they'll be out of the KF-8s, and they'll probably be in the KG-8s, because those, look like the KF-8s are running pretty fast here.
Yeah, that's something that a number of us have noticed out here, is it seems like there's more and more people picking up their ham tickets and coming out onto the bands. I keep hearing more and more new call signs. I mean, you know, mine's a year old now, and I'm just catching more and more new people. And I'm going, that's awesome. It's nice to know the hobby isn't going away. We got a whole new generation coming on.
Well, that's good to know, because I thought this was a dying hobby. I mean, a dying hobby there at one time there, but yes, that's good there. Yeah, and I got to get prepared for Dayton. Our granddaddy swap there down in Dayton the third week in May every year. Oh, man, you talk about a kid in a candy store. Oh, man, they got every kind of antenna, radio, anything you want to see that's got anything to do with ham radio down there. Oh, man, you got service people, you know, like people that's in the service, they're wearing their uniforms, they'd be sitting there and explain how Mars work and all that kind of stuff, you know, because you have one guy, you know, in a Navy uniform, and they got women, too. And army uniforms, and they explain how their system works. It's fun there. But if you want to see what it's like, if you've never been to Dayton, which I think that every ham should go there at least once in their life, well, you can go on the internet and just type, bring up Dayton Ham Convention 24 and 25, and it'll take you all around how it looks. The flea market outside and inside with all the new radios and stuff. Man, it's wild.
You know, Jay, I get the distinct impression that that would be very, very bad for my pocketbook.
Well, I don't know. I went down there with $15 and found I could use, believe it or not. Because, you know, you go to that flea market, you can find a lot of stuff, little or nothing there. Man, oh, man. Yep. Yep, you'd be surprised.
Yeah, maybe that's a ticket. Just walk in there with no money so that I can't buy just whatever I see. I'd have to think about it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you better not go. Because they got, they got, they got money machines all over the place there. So you better not go.
And it's not like I can leave my bank card at home, because how am I going to get the gas to get there and back, right?
Yep. ATM machines all over. And like you said, you got to have it. You at least have a backup, you know, so you can get back and forth, you know, with gas there. Yeah, but, if you get a chance, go on the internet and bring up a Dayton Ham Convention 24 or 25, and it'll take you all around, and it's just like being there, right?
And I'm waiting for the laptop to finish charging back up before I turn it back on. I was working it hard earlier today and ran it down pretty bad. But I will remember to do that when I get a chance.
Yeah, roger, roger. Yeah, because, you know, we got so many different roads to choose in this hobby. Some people is into satellites, some people in the packet, some people in Morse code, some people, you know, they're into everything now. Some people don't even want to talk on a repeater. They'd rather just talk simplex. And, so, you know, it's... And, of course, we got the link. We got some other stuff there, too. All-Star and this, that. Oh, man. Yep, there's so many roads to choose. No doubt about it, yeah. We done lost two other people in here, right?
Well, Jay, there was the one guy who called in for a radio check, and he was only here for a few minutes, and, you know, we let him know what we heard and things like that, and he didn't say anything back to us. And the other guy that was out here, he just was, you know, down the road a piece from me. He's another new one. His call sign is Kilo Foxtrot 8, Foxtrot Juliet Hotel. And right now, he's just working with just handhelds. He doesn't even have a mobile setup as a base or anything like that. And he's doing pretty good for someone who just got started. He's catching on quick. He's doing good at it.
Yeah, well, that's good. I know when I first got my ticket, you know, I thought these HTs were, you know, the bomb, man. I mean, having an HT, it's nice because, you know, you can use it as a base, a portable, or mobile. You know, you get your mobile antenna, you got connection, you can connect it to that. But HT, though, only thing is, you can't talk that long on it, especially on high power. And that thing will get hot. And when it get hot, it's going to cut off. And it ain't going to cut on unless it cools back off. Well, at least it was I had. So that's what made me go from HT, portable, to mobile. And then I decided to give me a base there because I could talk forever. But right now my base is in the shop. And I'm using a mobile radio, which is a Yaesu 7800 that I've had quite a while. And I got a couple other radios out there, Kidwood 742. It's a tri-band. That you can take the modules out and put any module in there, like anywhere from 10 meters, 6 meters, 10 meters, 1.2 gigahertz, 220 and all that stuff. And I got two of them that has 220 in it there. So, now I got to see if I can go to the flea market this year and see if I can find some extra modules that I can take mine out and put other ones in there, Roger.
Yeah, I copy that. Best luck to you. I do hope you find what you're looking for when you get on down there. I'm not sure I'm going to make it down there this year. I've got a number of other obligations I got to take care of first.
No worries, no worries. I mean, we still have local ones. I think last week, we went to LaGuardia. And I went to, back in December, last Friday, December, went to, I went to Alaska, so then, you know, but the most ones I like going to is Monroe Swap. It's an outdoor spot, and it's on Father's Day, and Dayton, of course.
Yeah, I copy that. And one of the responsibilities I got is coming tomorrow morning. It's getting kind of late for me. And I have somewhere that I have to be at 7 a.m., so I got to get out of here and hit the sack. It's been awesome talking to you again, Jay. Glad you're doing well. Glad you're still on the air. Glad you're still with us. It's been a pleasure. 73s and all the other good numbers to you. This is Cliff. KF8, DBZ, clear after your final.
Okay, Cliff, my pleasure there. It's nice talking to you, and of course I'm sure we'll catch up with you another time, but I guess I'm going to go ahead and scan the band. I can only talk on 2 meters of 440 now because my other radio's in the shop, but that's all right. Hopefully we'll get it back in another week or two. 73s, this is November 8th. We're just leaving.
Currently connected to CMN Network.